campaign to abolish nuclear weapons. Governments, it's been about 120 governments that have really been emphatic about this, and the International Committee of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, who have talked about the humanitarian consequences of this weapon, and that's what we need to keep our focus on.
And what about the fact this is happening when President Trump is threatening to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal, as well as threatening the country of North Korea?
Yeah, that's deplorable, to be perfectly honest. That type of activity is what this treaty seeks to end. And the Iran deal is—it's a good deal. It stopped the Iranian nuclear program. The activities of North Korea should have been a negotiation directly with North Korea to make a similar deal. And we missed that opportunity. There needs to be direct negotiations so that we don't get into war.
I want to thank you, Susie Snyder, for joining us, nuclear disarmament program manager for the group PAX, based in the Netherlands, author of the report Don't Bank on the Bomb. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez will be speaking next Friday, September 29th, in Kansas City. I'll be speaking that night as well in Winnipeg, Canada. On Saturday, September 30th, Juan is speaking at University of Maryland College Park. I'll be speaking in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada. Then Sunday, October 11th, I'll be speaking at the University of Guelph in Guelph. That is October 1st in Ontario. That same night at Ryerson University in Toronto. You can check our website for details. To see our website, podcast, video and audio and transcripts of every show, go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Amel Ahmed, Nat Needham, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nagara, Paul Huckabee, our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
What's going on, world? This is Jay Retch, and you're tuned in to WHFR Dearborn.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
The healthcare industry will continue to be one of the largest employers of college graduates. More jobs are expected to be with nursing than any other occupation. Are you ready to make a difference in the world? Are you looking for an education and career that has advancement? Right now, there is a high demand for nurses, both male and female. Breaking into the nursing career means getting an education. Henry Ford College offers an associate's degree in the nursing program. All graduates can acquire full-time employment upon passing the licensing examination for registered nurses. For more information, please call 313-845-6300. Once again, that's 313-845-6300. Or look us up on the web at hfcc.edu. Henry Ford College, the right education right now.
Welcome to this edition of the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and boy, have we got a series of informational topics to bring your way. The topic, in fact, is information on our show today. We're glad you've joined us. You are listening to 89.3 on your FM radio dial, and the new WHFR Journal, as you know, if you're a regular listener, is designed to bridge the gap between what's happening on our campus community and our own community to you directly. And it's important that we have this opportunity to focus on some very special events and activities that you might not know about otherwise, so it's a part of this process. We also should mention that the things we talk about, the views that we express and so on, are not necessarily those views of this radio station in general, this college campus, or our board of trustees. There are our own thoughts and opinions, as well as those of our special guests. Alan, a good week so far, I hope?
A wonderful week so far, and boy, certainly a warm week. It's just really interesting now. Let's see, is fall, right?
We are officially in fall.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That sounds.
Doesn't it feel like it?
No, not at all.
Blowing leaves, the campfires, all that stuff at night. And
everything I've heard is we're expecting a beautiful but early fall, but I don't know, as warm as it's been. It's been quite a week, actually.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Some of the talk shows that we are looking forward to bringing in next week have had will be having the slant of like the whole concept of global warming. Mm-hmm. And I know the big thing that they're talking about right now is that so many of the leaves are not going to change into the beautiful color pattern before they die and fall off the trees. The global warming process is causing many of these leaves to die on the tree, go from green to dead, and then drop. And so they're saying that that could affect not only what we enjoy as Michiganders, but also the tourist industry as mm-hmm. well in our state. And so, you know, don't tell me it's not 89 degrees and this is normal here in late September.
Right, exactly.
And the views expressed are not exclusively of WHFR, but you know how that goes.
But enjoy them. That's what I say. Enjoy.
Yep. You got it. All right. We are very excited to welcome for the first time to our studios and to our airwaves a person that knows an awful lot about the college, and she got caught up very quickly. One of the newest members of our HFC family, Ms. Rhonda DeLong. And Rhonda is our new Director of Communications here at Henry Ford College. I had the pleasure of meeting Rhonda over the summer. It was actually a little cooler when we met before, but very excited to have you here to talk about your role at the campus and also maybe some ideas of some things going on that our listeners could be interested in. Welcome, Rhonda, to our airwaves.
Thank you so much, Susan. It's great to be here. It's good to see you again, and I'm very excited to be part of the Henry Ford College community and the Dearborn community and the Southeast Michigan community. It's been a wild ride so far, but I'm really enjoying it.
Tell us a little bit about your background, your skill set that you bring into this role, and then we'll talk a little more specifically about the sort of overarching tasks at hand with this new position.
Great, thank you. Well, actually, I am the Director of Marketing and Communications, so there are two different hats that I wear, but they're very interconnected, and communications is sort of the core of all of it, as I'm sure you know. I have been working in higher education for over 20 years, and this is my fourth educational institution, and I think there are always really interesting things to learn about each educational community. Every organization has its own mission, and there are some universal principles, but at its heart, what I'm finding at Henry Ford College is the idea of what it means to be student-centered is lived out in a way here that's unique and that's very special and that is driven by the individual needs of our students. And that's a hard thing to do when you think about a community that has only about 200 full-time faculty members and only about 200 full-time staff. We have a large group of adjuncts who do really good and very important work as well. But overall, in terms of the broad representation that we have to provide services to students, it's sort of a small group of people doing as much as they can with the resources that we need, sometimes not as much as we need, but I'm finding it very heartening and very inspiring to see that kind of commitment.
I'm glad to hear that. And I think that sort of speaks to the philosophy of those of us that have been on campus for many years. That's kind of what keeps us here, in fact.
Yep.
Exactly the way you just described it is wonderful. Yeah. When you came into the position,
right.
And we, again, I think we have a tendency, at least in my experience here, to sort of revise positions, sort of
right.
revamp them, and
yes.
often, especially in something this immediate and this at the moment cutting edge, needs to be updated and so on collectively.
Right.
So the
yes.
idea of the marketing and the communications,
yeah.
It's a long time coming, I guess,
yes.
from my perspective. So
right.
Define the roles as
sure.
as they relate to what you do.
Sure. Well, I should also say, when I started my career, I started in sort of general communications. I've been, at heart, I'm a writer. I have communication through words, and that's always going to be a part of who I am. And then I wound my way through web design and development, and I got really into the more marketing and communications and public relations side of things. And I went back to school to get my master's degree to earn more competencies in those areas. And the way I see it is communication is at the heart of everything we do. When you think about it, everyone is communicating pretty much all the time, every day. All our interactions among other human beings are communication, sometimes verbal, sometimes through many other means. But it's something that we do without thinking about it. And as an institution trying to communicate with people, sometimes we think too much in terms of communicating to people and not enough in terms of communicating with them. Good communication is a two-way street. It involves engagement and understanding your audiences, and really, in my view, comes down to relevance and value. No matter how loud I shout or how many times I try to communicate something, if it's not relevant and valuable to the target audience, then it isn't worthwhile. So when you take that foundational principle and you apply it to all the different activities that we do in marketing and communications, the marketing side is probably considered to be more things like our advertising campaigns, which are run through broadcast media and digital boards and billboards and all kinds of different collateral publications. I mean, there are millions of channels we use. It seems they grow every day, social media. And we're constantly trying to reach essentially the same audiences that our competitors and others are trying to reach. So we have to find ways to define our message in relevant, meaningful, valuable ways and know who our audiences are and really bring them something of value. And it's deeply connected with the core of the institution. As a marketing person and a communications person, I have to make sure that I'm keeping the promises of the organization. I can't make promises that we can't keep. And that's a very important thing to me. And it's part of why I like to try to get involved in kind of the DNA of the community and the organization. And what is Henry Ford College really about? It takes time to do that. It's building relationships. It's understanding the interplay between communicating messages to people and receiving from them what they need from us, how we can bring more value. It's I'd say it's a good combination of an art and a science, and it's something that I continue to work on. I don't think I'll ever be as good at it as I want to, but that recognition is important as well.
Or just when you think you're as good as you want to be, some other platform comes in that we know nothing about, and we have to sort of start from scratch and keep that student-mindedness going.
Right, and it's also difficult to get the kind of feedback that's helpful and useful. As I'm communicating, for example, one of the things I've been trying to do is find ways to more effectively communicate with our internal audience. And I should tell you that this is, it's the bane of every institution I've ever worked for. People will say, you come in, you get hired, and they say, oh, we need internal communications. So, one of the things I'm trying to do is to figure out how to do that better here, because in the past, a lot of the model that's been used is just blasting everything out there. And people get frustrated and they don't find it relevant and then they complain. So generally, you get feedback about things that aren't working. You don't get as good a feedback about things that are working or how specifically we can make improvements. So that's one of the things that I've been trying to do. And I will say, I think it's going to be a while before I really figure that part out. And I'm going to need the help of a lot of people, because this is not about me. It's not even just about me and my team. It's really about the whole organization and our community. It's much broader than any individual entity can make it. Part of my job is to try to facilitate that, but I can't invent it without help from other people.
Mm-hmm. You've been in this position for about 2 months
about
now?
About 2 months, yes.
Okay, so you're really
brand new, yes.
You're brand new, you really are. But boy, you certainly talk like you're looking for the right things. And
thank you.
That's wonderful. I think the worst thing for a communications person to come in and they just know everything all of a sudden,
right?
Because how is that even possible? So this research phase, this sort of honeymoon phase, I think is really, really critical.
Thank you. It doesn't feel a lot like a honeymoon, but it does feel like, well, people are pretty genuine, and there are so many people here who deeply care, and that resonates with me. I mean, that's part of why I've been in higher education. I did take a brief foray into working for an agency, and it was a great agency run by a wonderful person. The problem for me was it wasn't mission-driven enough. It wasn't human-centered enough. It wasn't focused on the idea of trying to create opportunity and helping people meet their potential and even dream bigger than they would have otherwise. And that's something that higher education offers that I think is unique and specific and really valuable. Whether you start out and get a certificate or you get an associate degree or a bachelor's degree or go on to higher education, all of it helps open your mind and open opportunities and open potential. And Henry Ford College is really focused on trying to help students figure out what really are my dreams and goals and aspirations. You don't have to know what you want to do to come here. A lot of people do, but a lot of students don't. And there's an openness and a welcoming and a program for everybody all across that spectrum. In fact, right now we're working on even more personalized services to help students figure out their path from the beginning so that the courses they're taking are valuable toward whatever career it is they want to pursue, and making sure people are spending their money wisely and making sure they're investing in the future they want to have. And the type of diversity that we have here, not just racial and gender diversity, those are what people mostly talk about, but diversity of human experience. diversity of age and expression and all kinds of different levels. And there are some deep conversations happening here and across the world and across the country. Look in the news any day and you will see heartrending stories about the problems that we have as a society with that. We are grappling with those here at Henry Ford in a way that most people can't, because our college community here is one of the most diverse in the entire state and frankly across the country. Depending on how you measure, we're about two-thirds minority, which is pretty remarkable. And we provide a welcoming environment for all different kinds of people, some of whom don't welcome each other naturally. And providing an environment where students can encounter other people who are very different from them and grow and learn and become more capable and more open to be successful in the society they will occupy, in the society they will create. Because in many ways, the people we're educating are going to create the future society that we live in. And I'm not just talking about 18-year-olds. In fact, more than half of our students are over the age of 21. Our average age is 25. We have a lot of returning students, non-traditional, however you want to talk about them. And that sense of community here is really continuing to develop, but it's a very open space that I think there's a lot of work for us to continue to do and a lot of dedication to doing it well.
Wonderful. We are enjoying a conversation with our new Director of Marketing and Communications, Rhonda DeLong, here at Henry Ford College. You are listening to the new WHFR Journal on WHFR 89.3 FM, or maybe you're listening on the web at WHFR.FM. Either way, we're going to continue this discussion in just a moment. We talked a little bit about internal communications, your approach to analyzing what's needed and where we want to go. Let's come back and talk a little bit about the external side of the communications
Sure.
that you're working on, and we'll do that in just a moment. Susan McGraw along with Alan Mazurek. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Phil Mack, and I host Thematic and Primetime Thematic, and I am a volunteer DJ.
I'm Andy Parks, the host of Strictly Gospel right here on the station that's making waves, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hi, this is Mike Holloway, host of the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hi, I'm Bill Keith. My program, Light From The Underground, and all the programs you hear on the station are curated by a dedicated staff of DJs who donate their time and effort to bring you independent, non-commercial radio programming. Thank you for listening.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Thanks for staying with us. This is WHFR Dearborn, and we are the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw along with Alan Mazurek. We are deep in conversation with our new Director of Marketing and Communications here at Henry Ford College, Rhonda DeLong. And Rhonda brings years of experience both in the public and the private sector as it relates to doing a job that she's been sort of talking about here for the past 10, 15 minutes. And this does not sound like an easy job, Rhonda. I mean, some jobs I talk to people and like, that sounds great. It's a dream job. That's so easy. This is not for everyone. And as a communicator myself, I relate to and respect all of the things that you're talking about. But
thank you.
You've got a lot of bosses, so to speak.
Right.
Speak to that.
Thank you. That's a great point. I look at marketing and communications as a service-based job. And frankly, if you don't want to be service-based, you shouldn't take it on as a career. It is multidimensional, multifaceted, and there's a balance between trying to be proactive and create new initiatives and do the kinds of things you want to do strategically, and being responsive and aware and connected and, you know, in the moment. For example, I was at a meeting last week that had been scheduled for months, and it was a kind of an important event. And I got a call on my cell phone, and my first thought was, I'm not taking a call during this. But then I realized I should check. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, there had been a water main break, and it was late in the afternoon. So I had to leave that meeting and go and immediately figure out a plan for how I was going to communicate about not just the water main break, but what the implications were and which classes would be canceled, and not over-communicate, not say too much and get in the way, but create, again, valuable and relevant communication to the proper audience. And that's the sort of thing you have to be prepared for. In fact, during my interview process, one of the things that was intentionally sprung on me was to create a crisis communication plan. Mm-hmm. How would I handle it if there were an active shooting? shooter event on campus. And that gets to experience across a broad array that isn't just about marketing and communications. You really need competencies around organizational structure and function. For example, in a case like that, the first thing you would do, many people say, oh, the first thing I would do is start informing people, but that's not right. The first thing you would do is make sure that safety had been achieved. Is everyone safe? Are the police on site? Have they given the orders to shelter in place or to evacuate? Have they neutralized the shooter? Those sorts of things, some people might say, well, that's not communications and marketing, but it is. It's deeply a part of it because the core and substance of what you're talking about is actually more important in some ways than the channels you use to communicate. So, and of course, there are a broad array of responsibilities in a situation like that, and let me tell you, I hope we never have one. In fact, I'd far rather be communicating about planned events and activities that we have going on. So, for example, in 2 weeks, we are having a career expo at the college, which is open to the public. And when we were on the break here, Susan and I were talking about the connections that we have in the community and the ways that we provide services and really a presence in the community that is stabilizing and valuable and that provides important services to people. And the career expo, you might look at that and think, well, that's for students, that's for alumni. And yes, it is, but it's also for the general public. And we are bringing in more than 70 employers on campus. I was talking to Chad Austin, who's in charge of the Career Services Center, and he told me that there have been cases where people get job offers right on site at this expo, and that's why he says, make sure you bring your resume and come dressed professionally. But this is going to be wide open. It's free, and in fact, there will even be a service to do checkpoints with people on their resumes if you want a little coaching to make sure your resume is truly honed. And there are a lot of other services available, so it's a great opportunity, and we're welcoming our community to join and participate in that. And there are so many other, throughout the course of the year, really hundreds of large and small activities, or cultural, music, art, theater, dance, all kinds of ways for the community to connect and to create a sense of the broader cultural landscape in which we exist, and to provide services such as classes that people can take for, you can take ceramics classes, and you can learn about things that may or may not be connected to your career. So some of these are some of the ways that we provide services and options for the community, and we really welcome people on our campus. I think it's a fairly welcoming campus. In fact, it's the first place I've been in a long time where parking is free.
Don't say that too loud. You're going to give somebody an idea. No, I'm kidding.
I'm proud of that. It's actually really a nice thing for me, having just come from the University of Michigan, where I will tell you, you don't get a parking permit at U of M. You get a hunting permit. That's what we called it. You get to hunt for a parking space and hope that if you find one, you're not going to leave it.
Wow, that's incredible. We have an opportunity, I think, to, on a daily basis, keep things rolling as they are, or work towards changing the status quo. Not that it's always bad or good, just different, changing, again, up, sort of up with the times, keeping things current and always staying sort of one step ahead if possible.
Right. Yeah.
We've got a new president potentially coming on board
here.
We know we've got a present president that is making his way out. This is his final year in office. What's the process there? What's going on?
Yeah, well, we are conducting a national presidential search, and it's really important for us to involve our student body, our faculty, our staff, and our community, because the president of Henry Ford College isn't just an on-campus person. The president of Henry Ford College is somebody who is a member of the community, who is an influencer in the community. In fact, Dr. Jensen, who is a wonderful person, and we're all kind of sad that he's chosen to retire, but he deserves to move on into the next phase of his life. He's on the Chamber of Commerce. He's involved in all kinds of community service activities. He sort of becomes a liaison in some ways between the college and the community, and he's a presence. So whoever succeeds Stan will need to be in that same role and will need to be interested in what's going on in the community and build relationships across a broad variety of people, not all of whom agree with each other. Our local community is not homogeneous. And I think that's actually one of the most interesting things to me, having been part of different communities, is that this one has a lot of very very intense people who have deep interest in what's going on in the local area. and very strong opinions about how it should go. So the presidential search is something we really want people in the community to get involved with. This week, we've had open forums. In fact, the next one, I think, is Friday afternoon, maybe 2:30, 3:30. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But we're inviting the community to come in at this early stage and help us determine what qualities are we seeking. And that's an important thing for us to hear from people because it will help form the type of search that we conduct. So just to be clear, the Board of Trustees here is responsible for hiring the president, and they will do the final hiring. But it is the job of all the rest of us and the community to help identify the best candidates, to help the board know what's important to us as a community. What kind of person do we want to seek? What sort of direction might you consider taking the college? So while they have the responsibility to make that decision and they will be vetting all the candidates, right now, this week, we are working with the search consultant one-on-one and in small groups and in large groups, and he is spending his time taking in all this information. He's a very experienced person in doing this, and he's taking in the information and helping synthesize it so that it will shape the search. So for people who think it might be, it's a done deal, they've already decided who they want, I would say that, in fact, we haven't even begun making that decision. Now, that's not to say there aren't people out there lobbying for it, because it's a very appealing position. And especially in the last few years, there's been a significant financial turnaround, a lot of it through hard decisions, frankly. And we're going to keep making those hard decisions, and we're going to keep being the most affordable college in the state. We actually have right now the lowest in-district tuition rate of any public school, and we're very proud of that. What that does, though, is it puts some pressure on us to stay in a fairly austere space, because we want all of our investment to go to places where it's going to help students and where it's going to help the community. So we don't spend money on things like beautifully appointed offices in the administration building. And I can tell you that we don't spend money on that. But that's good. I mean, that's part of what you like to see. You know, we have enough to do the work that we need to do, but we don't go beyond that. And trying to bring in a president who will adopt our mission and vision, and who will want to carry that forward, and who will want to continue providing this presence both to our students and to the community, is going to be a really critical thing. And we'd like to hear from other people about what that will look like. What sort of person, what sort of qualities would you like to see? And we're putting together a presidential search website, which will be visible on our homepage. And right now I'm building the content for that and getting that put together with our IT team. And we will have intake mechanisms. We'll be asking people to, either anonymously or by name, whatever your choice, to submit comments to us, to engage with us. And we will have future public forums. I would expect, I don't know exactly what the board's going to decide, but I would expect that we'll have some forums when we get finalists, and there will probably be some more interim steps. But again, we welcome our community onto our campus. This is a part of the community. We occupy space here. We are part of the community. So we welcome that sort of engagement, and we'll reach out and we'll ask people to join us. But I'm asking now for people to take some initiative and talk to us and let us know. Right now, we have an email address, presidentialsearch@hfcc.edu, that you can send comments to right now, today. And, you know, that's not as sophisticated as we'll get. But for this moment, we're just getting started. We do expect to have our new president in place before Stan leaves, which is the end of June next year. We could conclude the search as early as early 2018. We just don't know how quickly it will proceed.
Okay. It's a rare opportunity to be able to be a part of the job description creation,
it is,
if you will.
For sure, yeah.
So, and we know a lot of this is so much more than just 20 years experience at this,
right.
5 years
exactly.
In history, you know, it's more that those intangibles in some cases
exactly.
that is part of this process.
Well, and at a community college, you have some opportunities that you might not have at certain other kinds of institutions. So, for example, some of the really big, what we call Research One institutions, like the University of Michigan, Michigan State, Wayne State, they are often constrained by a need to have somebody who has a really strong academic background, a PhD who has done massive research and is really an academic. And we could very well end up with that sort of person here, but we also have a landscape in which we could choose someone who was successful in business or who had other types of experiences and who would be a good leader. So we have an open space in which to choose what kind of leadership we need and what kind of leadership we want right now in 2017, 2018, 2019, looking to the next 5 years, the next 10 years. Because one of the things we need to do, and we are doing effectively, is envision what the future of the students' professions are going to look like. We are not educating people just for 2017. We are envisioning what these areas of study and these trades and these professions are going to look like in the future. And that's a hard thing to do. That takes some real imagination, some real vision. It takes a lot of expertise. Even in your area, Susan, I'm sure that when you're working with students, you're looking to the future of what is the communications arena going to look like down the road? What do we know from current trends? Where are those leading? What sorts of competencies do you need? Not just the technical side, but the human side. How are we preparing students to interact with other people and to be successful in careers that won't be at all the same? In fact, I tell people often, the career that I have just didn't even exist when I graduated from college the first time. You know, it's evolved so much. And my need to be in an active learning space and an active listening space and figuring out what things might look like next and how do I get there and how do I help other people get there has led me to the point that I am today. And I have to keep doing that. In some ways, it's kind of exhausting. You'd like to be able to sit back and rest on your laurels, but you really have to continue doing that. And so infusing those skills and those affinities in our students is part of what we're doing. Knowing that our entire culture and landscape is going to change in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, if you observe at all what's happening in society, the pace of change keeps increasing. And sometimes I wonder, sort of theoretically, how much faster can we tolerate with the pace of change? But that's part of what we do at places like Henry Ford, is try to figure out how to help students have those competencies so they can be successful whatever they choose to do.
I'm most excited, Rhonda, about, through your own words, how you seem to have really taken ownership of your position. And
that's wonderful to hear,
wonderful to see. I get the pleasure of watching her as she's passionately talking about all these things. You don't get to see that, but trust me, she means all of this.
And
certainly to be the Director of Marketing and Communications, you have to be able to have that buy-in and clearly... you seem to be in exactly the right place for us. I hope for you as well. So we're really pleased.
We have
a millage coming up.
That's actually, the vote is next year. So during the next year, you'll be hearing a lot about the millage and what it means to the community, what it means to the college. We are partially funded by millage. It's a significant part of our annual budget, and it's an important part of how we interact with our community. It's a commitment that we make to the community. It's a commitment the community makes to us. We will be providing a lot of information over the coming year about what that means and how that will look for you. I do have to say, we are not allowed to advocate. So there won't be an advocacy campaign from us. However, we're welcoming partners from the community and from the corporate space and from our partners in industry and any others who want to share their experiences of the value that Henry Ford College has brought, the meaning that this college brings to the community, the ways that we provide services and that we welcome people and that we help people grow in their own lives. And some of it is career-based and some of it is personal growth, but across the spectrum, if we think about what Henry Ford College means to the community in really deep ways, then we'll understand why people would want to vote yes for the millage. And of course, that sounds a little advocate there, but that's really where we're going, is to try to continue funding the college. We're not going to be asking for a lot of extra money. We're not raising the numbers. We just want to continue to do the work that we're doing, continue to provide better futures for our students. When I came here, the brand for the college, which is Future Driven, had already been determined. And you've probably seen there's a pretty significant advertising campaign going on to promote that, to generate awareness, to generate engagement. But I think that's a very real component of what this college is about. As I look around, whether or not you like the tagline Future Driven, the concept of looking to the future, of being in a place where we understand that's the space that will be occupied by our students, that's what we're trying to create competency for and excitement for, and also engagement and connection with our community in a long-term way. We will always be Henry Ford College Dearborn. We will always be a part of this community. This is a critical a connection for us. We do expand beyond our community. We bring in students from all over Southeast Michigan, and we're very proud of that. In fact, the president said to me when I was interviewing, people drive past other community colleges to come here, and there are good reasons for that. And we want to keep those reasons in front of everybody. We want the Dearborn community, the Dearborn Heights community, to be proud to call us their own, to be proud to have a sense of ownership and engagement and connection, to be proud of how welcoming we are, to be proud of how much good we do. We really are. We're right now the second biggest community college in the state, which is another good distinction for us. You know, we feel like a lot of the work that we do here is a little undertold, and one of my jobs in the future is to come up with ways to tell those stories, to tell the individual stories, the collective stories, the community stories about the value the college brings. I'm hoping to bring in some multimedia and video and some other channels that are accessible and engaging and fun, because everywhere I go on this campus, everyone I talk to, every student I encounter, every faculty member I meet, they have a story, and a lot of those stories are about how Henry Ford College has helped them, has changed things in a better way for them, has connected them in ways they didn't imagine before, has challenged them in new ways and created new ways of thinking. I've been challenged myself to think in new ways just by meeting people who are so different from where I come from and where I've been. And I relish that. And I hope that everybody who's here relishes that, even if it isn't always comfortable. And that's another thing I think we can do in a very unique way, is to create real dialogue in spaces that might not be comfortable.
Well, we're comfortable that you're in this position.
Well,
I'll tell you,
you
that.
Thank you, Susan. That's just I'm glad to hear it.
Absolutely the truth. So it's been such a pleasure learning your job and the job that is never going to be done.
I'm sure.
It never
will.
In a good way.
Even on a daily basis.
Yes, that's right. We wish you the best of success.
Thanks so much.
And again, are so grateful that we can say that you're a member of our team now here at Henry Ford College. It's important to our listeners, again, that we continue to have these discussions and to know that we've got people that are point people should you have something you wanted to share, talk about, see
Thank
from
you.
The college, learn about, and so on.
Great.
If someone wants to learn more, connect directly to you, Rhonda, how might they reach you?
Well, they can reach me always by email, and it's pretty easy. My last name is DeLong, so it's R-D-E-L-O-N-G. At hfcc.edu. You can call my number. It's 317-6800. And look me up on the website. It's fairly easy to find me. Stop by my office on the third floor of the Administrative Services Building. Good luck finding me. I'm usually in meetings. But I'm happy to talk to people. I like to engage with people. It might not be in that moment, but I will definitely get back to people. And I also want to point out, in terms of our community service and community connection, this radio station is part of that, and we're proud of that. I know it's a lot of work, and you do a lot of it with volunteers, as often the case for nonprofit radio stations. But this is part of how people connect and engage with us. So I would encourage people to engage through the radio station, through the website, you know, call, connect with the group here. And if any of those are intended for me, they'll get routed to me.
Absolutely. Thank you again for your time.
You're welcome.
Very grateful.
Thank you.
We've got more to come on the new WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are Making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Music has evolved a great deal in the past 300 years. And that's only because of artists who were able to express themselves in ways that the common practice couldn't. Music is art, and great art should seek to change the world. No one knows when the next wave will break, but when it does, you can rest assured you'll hear it on the Space is a Place program every Friday evening from 6 until 8 p.m. with me, your host, Tom Wilson, right here on your favorite radio station, 89.3 WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Thanks for staying with us on the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. And talk about information, Alan. Goodness, Rhonda had so much good stuff to share, and we're going to kind of keep that rolling now. So we go from inside the college to outside in the community, which makes it interesting. And we are joined at this time by special guest Craig Schuler. And Craig is the broadcast technical specialist for CDTV, and that's the City of Dearborn Television. Craig, we're so happy that you were able to make some time to come over today. We know that the City of Dearborn has so much going on with their Office of Public Information, and that CDTV is in fact a division of the Department of Public Information. Yep. We're pleased that Mary Landrosch was able to give you a little flex time to come on over, and we look forward to talking to her at some great length in the future about some of the things going on through the Department of Public Information. But this one's all CDTV, so tell us a little bit about this.
Okay, well, again, we are the official government access channel, which is run by staff members. We're all staff members in the division of CDTV, part of Department of Public Information. In Dearborn, you can tune to CDTV on Comcast Channel 12, WOW Channel 10, and Channel 99 on AT&T UVerse. CDTV is also available online with both a live stream of our broadcast and a video on demand page, but I can get to that a little bit later. But the broadcast signals on Comcast WOW and AT&T UVerse basically are just available in Dearborn, but we do reach a broader audience.
Got it. Why would someone need or want to tune in to CDTV?
Well, CDTV, we run programming 24/7, and we actually produce shows. There are some communities that just run a lot of bulletin board, PowerPoint slide kind of things, which is great. It gives you lots of information, but our viewers have varying schedules. So our broadcast schedule of actual shows repeats every 4 hours. So if you work the midnight shift, you can watch the mayor's show at 1 o'clock in the morning, or if you work afternoons, you can watch it at 7 o'clock at night, or, you know, that kind of thing. But there's all sorts of information on the shows. The mayor has a show, the council has a show, we have a show for, it's called Recreation Over 50 for our senior services division.
One day Ellen and I'll want to watch that show many years from now.
I'm pushing it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say I'm there yet, but yes. And yeah, we'll say it's many years down the road. We also broadcast the city council meeting live, you know, very important. And then that is replayed daily until the next council meeting airs. So, you know, there's lots of information. And again, the council meeting airing shows up at different times throughout the day as well, throughout the week. So,
got it. Yeah. So this is really for people that maybe can't attend an event, can't get to a council meeting, but they want to stay in touch with the pulse of what's happening in our Dearborn community.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We also have on the broadcast signal, which again is on TV in Dearborn on Comcast and WOW, but then on our live stream, which is just a duplicate of our broadcast signal. So you could actually, if you're in Hawaii on vacation, let's say, and it's the council meeting, and for some reason you want to watch that rather than going up and seeing the beautiful waterfalls or swimming on the beach, you could, you know, you could hit the live stream up. And again, I'll tell you how to get there real shortly here. But, you know, if you really wanted to, you can get that information. We also post snow emergencies and other significant events, like on a crawl on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
So it's real good information, especially for residents of Dearborn or people that have relatives in Dearborn.
When it comes to some of the everyday details of what's going on, you mentioned things like the snow emergencies and stuff. What will there be information like when the lawn clippings are being picked up, when raking the leaves, where it's fall now,
right,
you
right,
know, Craig,
right,
by
yeah,
the way.
That's so coming up,
so
right.
that kind of stuff, as well as city services information, contact stuff.
Yep. We run PSAs about public service days, which is kind of a spring through early winter type of thing, of street sweeping and the different things, tree trimming and things like that. That tells you what days that'll be on. And we also, besides the PSAs, we run slides that tells you that same thing. So if you're missing one, you're seeing the other. And yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Got it. I know that most communities don't have much budget or much staff to do this kind of point-to-point contact directly from the office of public information to the viewing and listening audience. Is that probably the case with the city of Dearborn as well? Skeleton crew kind of a thing?
It is, but I'll tell you what, we are much more fortunate. And this goes, I started with this part of my career. I started off actually in radio 30 years ago, but now working at a TV station. Radio's not what it used to be, but small stations like this still are, so that's cool. But yeah, we have a much smaller staff, but we all do more with less, and we seem to make that work. You know, I'm sure you're same thing here at the school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is, we do have a pretty much a larger staff than most other communities though. So we're fortunate and we have had great leadership over the, 17 years that I've been here that know and recognize the value of a community TV station.
Well, we just had Dearborn Homecoming. Alan, we're going to look forward to having you at our Dearborn Homecoming next year officially. But we see the CDTV cameras out, capturing footage and so on. What happens with all that stuff? Does it go into a program, become a program?
Yes, we capture footage. The mayor and the council, usually somebody from the council or two council members, and usually the mayor are down there talking with different community groups, different members of the community, just, you know, man, woman off the street kind of thing, about how important homecoming is. And yeah, it ends up, the mayor has his own show that's called This Week in Dearborn with Mayor O'Reilly. It's a weekly series, like I said, you know, this week. He discusses all sorts of things, sometimes sit down interviews, sometimes goes out on location, you know, talks about different things that are important in the community. Recent stop was at the fire department with our new training center. Mm-hmm. So we got a glimpse of that. The Dearborn Journal is a news magazine that covers all sorts of things going on in the city. And the Meet Your Council show, like I said, a lot of the council members do interviews for different events throughout the city and feature those. And yes, sometimes at homecoming. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Yeah. What's your favorite part of the job?
My favorite part of the job, I'm kind of the tech guy, and that's my love. I've got the voice for the face. There we go. That's it. The face for radio. I get that mixed up. So yes,
you don't
see me in front of the camera, but I will definitely get behind the microphone. I do most of the tech stuff, make sure the station is running day-to-day tech operations, a little voiceover work. So that's cool. That's my favorite part of the job. Plugging stuff in and making sure it works, running the board, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Excellent. Alan can relate to that, I think. You like that. I'm not talking about the face for radio part. I'm talking about the other part. When we have a community that's listening right now saying, oh, yeah, I've checked out that, you know, that on my local cable channel, or I've watched it on the internet or whatever, how much can they give you feedback? I mean, is there an opportunity for somebody to suggest a show, to suggest a topic, to be, you know, to go on one of the programs? And also tell us exactly, for those that have not had a chance to check this out, exactly how, again, we can do that.
Sure, absolutely. Feel free to give either the Public Information Department a call or directly to CDTV. Our number is 313-943-2365, and that'll ring straight into CDTV. And we are great. Happy to take suggestions. If you go to cityofdearborn.org and scroll down to the bottom, this is the easiest way to tell you rather than spelling out this big, huge, long URL.
Sure.
So go to cityofdearborn.org, scroll down to the bottom. There's a section that says connect with us, links saying watch CDTV live, watch CDTV on demand, and view the CDTV broadcast schedule. If you click watch CDTV live, that'll take you directly to our live stream on the internet. Again, same signal as our TV broadcast, but you can access it anywhere in the world. So if you're in the Netherlands or Mongolia or Hawaii on vacation, if you really want to, go ahead and check out what we've got as our, you know, broadcast signal.
Alaska sounds really good right now.
Yes, sure. Actually, and that's where my boss is right now.
Really?
So she's
well,
on
that's
vacation.
A coincidence.
So yeah, it's
smart
funny.
Woman.
Indeed, indeed. So I'm hoping she's getting great time on vacation. If you click on the Watch CDTV On Demand, that's a great resource. You can watch any of our programs pretty much at any time at your convenience. It opens up to a nice graphic page, shows you the 9 most recently uploaded shows. But we've got, I don't know, a jillion, I'll just say, pages full of shows. We've been on that site since maybe about 2009. So you could go back and watch the mayor's show from, you know, August 21st, 2010. I'm making that date up, of course, but, you know, you can go back and watch any council meetings or anything there. There's a listing of the different shows. There's a search engine on there. So, I mean, you could really check out. You say, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, I saw this really cool thing on Meet Your Council in August of, I keep going back to August. That's my birthday. So, but, you know, you go check that out. Lots of shows on there. And then you can view the CDTV broadcast schedule. If you click on that link, of course, that's exactly what it says. It takes you to a dynamic, updated schedule. So anytime we update with a new show weekly, like for the mayor's show, the new, you know, next week, it'll say week, you know, I don't know, 56, I don't know, whatever. There's not 56 weeks in a year, but anyhow.
It's a lot of programming
you pack in. Yeah, right, exactly. But that's updated, so you can check that out. Again, cityofdearborn.org, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see those links. We also have a Twitter account, and you can find us at Dearborn TV for Twitter, and we update that quite regularly, and there's different things on there. Sometimes we do pictures of our shoots.
Nice. Like
you see shots of our cameraman out there or things like that. And then the video on demand page is the easiest URL. That's cdtv.viebit.com, cdtv.viebit.com. Or again, you could click on the link that says on demand.
And that's from City of Dearborn.
And that's from cityofdearborn.org.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, Craig, it's been incredibly informative. We look forward to having you back again sometime soon to maybe talk about some specific things related to specific shows. We're looking forward again to have Mary on. And we want to, you know, keep the information flowing. And that's what the topic of this conversation is today and this whole show. And I know that's what you do professionally every day. So we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And it was a pleasure getting to talk to you in person.
Great. Thank you very much.
Great. We want you to stay with us as well. This is the new WHFR Journal. And remember, this show is pre-recorded, and we want to make sure that you know that we are recording this to air at the time that you're listening to it. Friday, it is the first day of fall. It's a lovely afternoon. Stay with us.
Tune in to WHFR.FM 89.3 for the Highway 61 program. Fridays 2 till 4, DJ Kitty Love will play the best in blues with new blues releases, as well as local blues artists. Friday 2 till 4 on the station Making Waves, WHFR.
The performing arts are an important facet of life. There's no substitute for the relationship between audience and performer. The Henry Ford College Theater Arts Associates degree program offers a wide variety of classes for the beginner with no experience, as well as seasoned professionals who wish to improve their skills. Theater classes can be found on the HFC website under THEA at the hfcc.edu web advisor. Sign up today to begin or expand your future in the performing arts. Call 313-845-6478 or go to theater.hfcc.edu online for more information now. That's 313-845-6478 or go to theater.hfcc.edu.
The WHFR Annual Record Show is just around the corner, and we are accepting applications for vendors. Our 10th Annual Record Show is taking place on Saturday, October 21st, on the campus of Henry Ford College, and this is your chance to be part of it. If you're a vendor selling tapes, CDs, or vinyl records, or if you have other related items such as memorabilia or handcrafted goods, then you too can set up a shop for a day at this very popular and well-attended event. All the information, including a copy of the vendor contract, is available on our website, WHFR.FM. Just click on the record show icon for all the information. If you have any questions, you can email us at whfr@hfcc.edu. The WHFR Annual Record Show is Saturday, October 21st, so reserve your vendor table now.
Thanks for staying with us. We are going to move from basic communications into sports communications just a little bit here. And we are joined on the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3 FM with student of Henry Ford College, Josh Hebert. And Josh is, I have the pleasure of having him in a couple of my classes. And Alan, I know you have the pleasure of having Josh in our TCM 189 radio staff training class. So Josh, we're happy to have you here. Sports, that's what you do. And we know that the goal ultimately is to get a full-fledged sports show on our station to talk about not the Tigers and the Lions and the Pistons, but our local sports. People think, well, those are local sports. Well, no, those are our state teams. You know, we're talking about something a little bit more local, and that's right in our own backyard.
Yeah.
What you got going on?
Well, of course, the Downriver community and Dearborn altogether are big on high school football and celebrating their high school teams. So last week, Dearborn had a game, Crestwood had a game, Edsel Ford and Fortson all played last Friday night. Dearborn beat Garden City 31-21 and will play host to Belleville later tonight. You have Crestwood, who lost to Belleville last week, 62-0, and they will host inner city rival Fortson later on.
62-0, huh?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Oh,
not pretty for Crestwood over there.
Jeez.
And then you have Edsel Ford, who played Fortson last week, and Edsel Ford lost to Fortson 49-14. And Edsel Ford will welcome in Garden City, who Dearborn played. So you have all of those teams who are in your own backyard, who most of them are playing at home. And then you have, of course, Allen Park, who isn't too far away, playing host to Woodhaven for their homecoming later tonight. And then you also have Melvindale, who is also right down the street, playing host to Lincoln Park, who is another big rival for that school.
Yeah. It's sort of a known fact that many of our high school students in the city of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, will come to college here at Henry Ford. We appreciate that. We love having our local students come in. When we move into Henry Ford College sports, what kind of things might we expect if we're able to get this other sports show off the ground? And what's going on with our teams right now?
Well, volleyball is getting ready to start up their season at home. They play last night, and we'll play again on Tuesday and Thursday here on campus. And then you also have the basketball team who's getting ready to start up. Chris Shepherd is
taking a lot of S's together, isn't it?
Yeah. is taking over as the head coach here. And then you also have the wrestling club who is moving to varsity this fall.
Now they're becoming a full-fledged team, aren't they, this time?
Yeah.
I mean, and I mean, they have been, and very successful at what they've done, but they're going to turn into an actual varsity sport, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
And that is something big that the athletic director, Rochelle Taylor, has been on, and she's also been big on the new men's basketball head coach coming in to take over and help move the program a little bit more forward. Yeah.
Very good. When we talk further in other shows and maybe again on the Journal at some point, we know we have some Henry Ford alumni that have gone on to do some amazing things.
Yeah.
We've got a baseball player right now.
Yeah, we actually have two baseball players who have moved on to the pro level. One graduated in 2015. He moved on to another university in Virginia. His name is Dan Cameron. He is now going down to play baseball in Australia, which Australia has produced a good amount of pro players. One of them is here in Detroit as Warwick Suppold. He is here and he has been good for the Tigers in the bullpen. And then also another player who has been drafted recently was Kyle Roberts, who is in the Texas Rangers farm system.
Nice. Well, we're excited that we're going to be moving into some more local sports here on WHFR. Kind of goes in shifts, you know. We get a group of students that are totally gung-ho, and then they kind of go by the wayside or graduate and go to other schools and so on. But we're excited that we're going to be able to represent some of our own local teams here on
our
airwaves.
I'm excited to come on and help you guys do that.
Well, thank you. We wish you great success in your classes.
Thank you.
Josh is an example of some of the things that our students are doing, not only talking about it and reading about it and you know, discussing it in the classroom, but to actually be able to go live and actually have these discussions. So sort of like living the dream as you're going through it. So Josh, great success to you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We've got more coming up with the Journal. Stay with us.
Housing discrimination. Would you recognize it and report it? These folks did.
My landlord said rent will be cheaper if we're friends with benefits.
Because I'm legally blind, a landlord questioned whether I'd be capable of maintaining an apartment.
Our real estate agent said a different neighborhood with people like us might better suit our family.
To learn more about housing discrimination, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. Fair housing is your right. Use it. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Nobody does Saturdays like 89.3 WHFR.FM. From 10 p.m. to midnight, check Two Raw Radio with Origins every first Saturday of the month with classic and underground hip-hop. Then on every other Saturday, you and my boy Omni646 hit you with the Rhythmic Ride. That's right, music with rhythm exclusively on WHFR.FM. Stream worldwide. That's www.whfr.fm. The station making waves across the Great Lakes. That's how we do it.
Thank you for staying with us as we wrap up this edition of the new WHFR Journal. Happy fall and happy weekend to all of you. Special thanks to Rhonda DeLong, our new Director of Marketing and Communications at Henry Ford College. Certainly a wealth of information, and I think an inspiring young woman at that. She brings a lot of experience and great skill set. Obviously, she knows what she's doing, and it's exciting to have that sort of breath of fresh air on our campus community. In addition, we thank Craig Schuler from CDTV, City of Dearborn Television, for his insight on ways you can learn more about what's happening through the City of Dearborn with local media. And we thank Josh for being a part of the new sports crew here at Henry Ford College. Always so much going on, and we are wrapping up this hour of information coming to you. Please note, if you have an opportunity and you're in the community close enough to Henry Ford College, that as we talked about with Rhonda earlier, that open forum for the President's Search Committee information is going on today starting at 3:30, and it takes place in the Welcome Center here on our Henry Ford Evergreen Road campus. Again, it's an opportunity to help develop the presidential search profile for our new president here at Henry Ford College. Today at 3:30, open forum to the community in the community room that's at the Welcome Center, the main campus location here on Evergreen Road. Boy, Alan, lots of information today. My head is spinning, but it's all good, and I'm very excited that you've been able to help and do your great magic over there on the board to make the show a success. As always, hope your weekend is wonderful as well. Happy fall.
Indeed, yes. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. We do want to mention the views expressed on this program do not represent necessarily Henry Ford College, our Board of Trustees, or this radio station, but we are thankful that you've listened and hope you found something interesting and important and relevant. Share it, spread the word, and we look forward to seeing you again next Friday, 1 o'clock, the new WHFR Journal. Have a great weekend.
Hi. We're PAC 1051 from Allen Park. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
And that's WHFR Dearborn. You are listening to Highway 61. We're going to do this without the theme song going in the back. And I'm Kitty Love. I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours on the station Making Waves. Going to be bringing you local blues from